Anyway, here comes Stefan Sessegnon now. He's striding forward. He's going to shoot. And yes. He scored. Stefan Sessegnon from outside the area. Robert Green embarrassed again. Can he get a shot? He can. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Bill Bradley picked that one out. And it's in. It's there. It's a goal. Oh, what a screamer.
All right, everyone. Welcome to episode 96 of the Roker Report podcast with me, Simon Walsh. And with me tonight is Luke Bowley.
Hello, everyone.
How are you?
Yes, I'm very good. Yeah.
Jolly good.
Ready to talk about some soccer.
Are you now?
Well, you've come
to the wrong place then.
Yeah, oh god. Oh, sorry, I meant I'm here to talk about Titus Bramble's anyway.
So here we are, talking about Sunderland again. Yep. One of the most tedious subjects in the world.
Yeah, in the middle of an international break where nothing much is happening.
Except everybody's getting injured.
Except for that horrible thing that's happening, yeah.
Yeah, but we might as well lead off with that. And
Where should we start? Shall we start with David Vaughan's injury, maybe?
Well, that one's the big hitter, obviously.
Yeah.
So, David Vaughan injured, nobody gives a shit about that.
Nope.
Stephen Fletcher's injured, though.
Oh, God, no.
Possibly the shittest thing that could have happened at the moment.
Yeah, it is one of the worst things that could have happened, really, to us in this international break, is him getting injured. 6 weeks minimum, it looks like, as well. I think it's ligaments that are the problem. He hasn't broken anything. But you just think he'll be out. Even when he returns, he won't be fully... probably won't be at his best, and you think we're pretty much missing out on him for the season now. And it's a big blow, you know. 11 goals this season already. He would have only added to that, and when we're in the position we're in, it's a very worrying state of affairs.
No, it's the worst thing that could have happened. it really is. I mean, some people have kind of given him a bit of grief recently. I mean, him and Graham together aren't working.
No.
But it seems like he's collared a bit of the flack as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's certainly the lesser of two evils in that.
Yes. I think it's not his fault that, you know, he can't really play well in a 4-4-2 because it's not really his... You know, Fletcher and Graham can't play together. Mm. It's not his fault if his performance dips because of that.
So, yeah, it's probably... I mean, he will come back this season.
Yeah, he will, for at least the last three or four games.
May not be really worth it, though.
Well,
because we know O'Neill's got a tendency to bring people back.
Oh, yeah. So
and just to make sure they get even more injured.
Yeah, we could have a catamaran situation on our hands.
I think we could, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it all depends over these next few games if someone can come in and perform. Obviously, there's one man who you're now looking at and just hoping that with him playing in his natural role up front that he might start to find some form from somewhere, and that's Danny Graham. And it's just a big stage in his career, come in for Fletcher.
Just try and play well.
Yeah, if he can...
It'll be a good start for him.
Just play quite well, you know. If he can score some goals then, and keep him in the division, then, well, he's proved to be a very good signing. But with the way he's been playing, he doesn't look fit. And that's the biggest... That's what worries me. Obviously, he's been playing in a two, which he doesn't like. And he can't really play... Especially when you're playing with Fletcher, he's quite similar. The worry... It's not just that he's playing out of position. It's that... He sort of looks just unfit, and it doesn't look like he'd be able to hold the line by himself at the minute. But hopefully he'll prove us all wrong and go on a great run.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a huge chance for him now. I think it's not overstating it to say the next, 6 weeks, obviously, will make or break his time on Wearside.
Oh, absolutely.
Because... People are going to, you know, there's some huge games. I mean, obviously, like, there's the one coming up against Man United and stuff. You're not really expecting anything from.
No.
So you just put in a decent shift. But then there's that run of, like, Newcastle, It's. I don't really want to talk about that yet.
We've got a couple of weeks, two, 3 weeks before we have to start, you know.
You know, that and Everton at home, not impossible.
No, well...
Difficult, very difficult, Everton, not impossible.
Everton impossible, we could get a point. We know how these things work.
Well, you got Villa, Southampton, and that after that.
Yeah, and that's going to be the crucial period. If you can get a bit of confidence in these next few games, even, you know, we're not expecting much, but if you can get a decent bit of form going, it should put them right for that last sort of five or six games where we really, really need the points.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about that a bit more later in question of the week. Other news, though, it's a bit scarce on the ground.
No, Sessegnon, is he going to be fit for Manchester United?
I believe so.
I heard he picked up a groin injury, but he should be all right.
Yeah, I think he's kind of pulled out as a precaution.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, that and he's kind of sick of being a bit of a one-man team.
So he's coming back to Sunderland?
Yeah, exactly. It's so different. John Egan signed a new contract.
Yeah, I saw that today. You and Mike talked about it last week, didn't you? About the youngsters going and how... It was surprising that Egan. Surprising that Egan hadn't been given one yet. So, I'm glad to see that because he's going to be a promising young player.
Especially when there's been so many like released and or told they haven't got a future. To know that, look, we are going to keep some of them.
Yeah, some of the, you know, they've got a chance. You know, some of them. I imagine Louis Lang. Did he?
We don't. That's still something that we talked about last week, and I just. Forgot to even remotely research.
I can't remember ever hearing anything about that, but presumably he'll be the next to sign up.
Yeah, I think so. And that's about it, really.
Yeah, Adam Reed's gone on loan to York, apparently, but
again, he's not wanted, and there's the McGeady handing in a transfer request, which is going to spark some speculation.
Yeah, that's going to be the one that comes up all summer, I think.
Yeah. It's this summer's Fletcher.
Yeah, and hopefully at the end of it, like Fletcher, he will be a Sunderland player, but that's still a long way to go there, I think. But he's definitely going to leave Spartak this summer.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's almost definite. It's if he ends up in red and white stripes, that's the only real question mark.
Yeah. All right, so move on to the match. Since there's nothing to look back on, really.
No, unless you want to go over Norwich again, but...
Good God, no.
No.
There's no going back, and there's straight into Man United at home.
Yay!
A winnable game?
Well, you know, they're all winnable, really, in according to the laws of physics, but it's not winnable, really, is it? We're not expecting anything at all from this game, and anything we do get is a bonus. We can maybe nick a draw, but I'd be very surprised if we win this one. Everyone, when people talk about bogey teams, everyone obviously talks about Everton and to an extent West Brom lately because they're sort of teams we expect to beat. But you'd think, you know, against all the other big teams, we've managed to get that odd win or two, like, you know. In the last few years, Manchester United we never beat. Like, we haven't beaten them since 1996. And
I was going to say, I remember John Mullen scoring.
Yeah,
against them.
Yeah, good old Johnny Mullen. Yeah, but
But
that was the last time we beat them in the league. And since then, it's just been a pretty miserable state of affairs whenever we played them. Pretty much, we came close to beating them in '99, I think. But other than that, generally, we just roll over for them, effectively.
I mean, do you think that their FA Cup quarter-final 2 days later might have any bearing on them? They might, with them being so clear in the league and that?
That's what you'd hope, that they'd rest a few players. I didn't realise it was that soon afterwards, actually.
Yeah, it's on the Monday.
Oh, well, I thought they might have moved it a bit later. But, that's what you'd hope for, is that they'll rest a few players, bring in a few youngsters. And then, because, I mean, let's face it, they've got nothing to play for in the league.
No.
The only reason I could think that Ferguson might play as a stronger team is if they didn't feel they'd got enough of their vengeance in the Old Trafford.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything in the build-up, so I think we're
no.
Yeah, I think we're safe in that department. But yeah, that's what you hope for, I guess, that Man United won't be at their best, they won't have their best players out. And often when Ferguson rests players, he doesn't quite get it right. So there is an opportunity there, I guess, to get something. But you just feel like with the way we're playing, even a Man United reserve squad would pretty much pull our pants down.
It would certainly give us a game anyway.
Yeah.
But the more they can rest it, the better. Because like you say, they've got a ridiculous lead in the Premier League. And you'd have to think, like, people are saying, like, they'd have, what is it, about a 4 or 5 game swing there needs to be?
Yeah. They're,
and
the title's there. Even if United were to lose those games, 5 games, you know, Man City aren't going to win all their games for the rest of the season. It's United's title now. So with the game being 2 days away, then they'll sort of have the rest players. But, you know, seeing as we don't know what squads they're going to put out, it's different. But the best way we're going to get something from this game is if maybe, you know, they end up playing someone like Carrick at centre half or sort of, you know, have a few players out of position or a few players in there who aren't really at the top level, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I might have got this completely wrong, but I believe if they kind of like slip up once between now and the time, they might. It might transpire that they can win the title at Man City.
Oh, is that right?
I think so. There's 2 games back-to-back, and it looks as though they'll either win it at Arsenal or at Man City.
Maybe it's just a part of it. I don't think it's going to... I'm not sure it's going to translate, though. It's not like...
Well, it's one of them ones that are like, well, all right.
They might throw a game to just...
I'm not going to say they throw it, it's not going to be... It's not going to be a huge hardship for them. It might work out for the better in the long run. That's very wishful thinking.
It's true. They you know, they might not be as focused on this one because with them having the game 2 days later, which is obviously more important. I think you'd hope that they maybe not at the top of the game, but the problem is that they're Manchester United, and even with a weakened squad, they're going to really, really give you a hard time.
Yeah, it's difficult to pick out, like, who's going to be a danger or anything like that, really, as well, isn't it? Because, obviously, the team is so unknown from their aspect.
Yeah, I imagine they might clear one of Rooney or Van Persie, possibly, potentially. Mm. In which case, to be honest, whichever the 4 forwards they put out, they'll be a big threat. And also Shinji Kagawa, you know, there's 5 players there who can all fit into those attacking roles. And it doesn't matter which combination it is, they're really going to be the big threats. We've seen what Welbeck can do in his time at Sunderland, and he's so hard-working and can really stretch us. Hernandez can pick a goal out of nowhere. Kagawa is a very, very good attacking player. And then, you know, there's nothing much needs to be said about Rooney and Van Persie. So wherever the threat does come from, whoever does play it, it'll be whichever 2 sort of forward players play it.
I mean, I've got a feeling the kind of team they'll put out will be a one that will get the job done by half-time. Mm. In their sort of ideal world. I think you'll probably go stronger than we expect.
Yeah.
And then try and get everybody off. Which I think is going to be difficult for us to hold out.
It's true, yeah. You...
Regardless of who's playing for them, but... You just don't trust our defence at the moment, do you?
No, I wouldn't trust them against, you know, Burton Albion, never mind Manchester United at the moment. I guess what you don't want to see is the kind of start we made in the reverse game at Old Trafford, where they absolutely steamrolled us the first sort of 30 minutes. We got so far behind that there was just no coming back. And even though we performed a bit better later on in the match, We can't defend as badly as we did in those opening stages in Old Trafford. And the worrying thing is, with the way they're playing, it's always a possibility that that could happen.
Aside from, obviously, Fletcher going out, who do you think will come in to the starting team?
I imagine it'll go Graham ahead of Sessegnon. I think he'll move Larsson to the right and bring in Ndai back alongside probably Colback, would be my guess. Presumably Johnson on the left. if I was to take a guess, it would, I imagine he'd go, that's because Larson can't play in the middle anymore games. It's baffled me how he's been stuck in that role to this stage of the season. I imagine he will push him out right. But there's a few options there. I mean, you can bring McLean back into the fold as well. I imagine he'd keep the same sort of back four or five with Gardner, Quaye, Bramble and Rose along the back as well. But there's a couple of options we can go with. But I would imagine it'll be Graham ahead of Sessegnon.
I think it'll be that as well. But I think the one man that I think it'll come, well, who will come in will be, obviously, I think McLean will come in.
Yeah, I was thinking for Larson, maybe, or
no, I think McLean will come in, like, obviously at the expense of Fletcher, meaning a reshuffle with Sess up front.
Oh, of course, I'm getting mixed up there, yeah.
With, so you got, like, him out wide, Johnson, I think, probably shifts over to the right.
Yeah, which I think I'd rather see him play there.
And probably Ndiaye and Colback in the middle.
Yeah. That's a strong possibility. There's a part of me that thinks maybe having Johnson in this team at this stage, maybe Johnson should be the one that sits on the bench at the moment. I've been thinking about this, like, since the Norwich game where we were obviously so poor, how having Johnson isn't going to track back. Same with Sessegnon. And with our defence in such horrendous circumstances, being so bad at the moment, you'd be tempted to just put McLean and Larson on the wings, because at least they're going to do the defensive work.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder, I do think that if we're going to just to maintain our Premier League status, that we have to make ourselves sort of really hard to beat and robust in these last sort of few games, which, you know, isn't going to be pretty, but it's just the only way I think we're going to just definitely make sure we're going to stay up, because, you know, I think how we were at the beginning of the season where, you know, we were just defending really well despite having quite an average back four.
Uh-huh.
Something similar to that, I think, with and I think the way to do it is to have McLean and Larson sort of there to help with the defensive work. Right now, I don't think Johnson is really playing well enough to justify himself as sort of I'm trying to think of the word to describe it. He's almost a luxury player. But the problem is, if he isn't going to do the defensive work, he has to be contributing a lot in the attacking third, and I don't think he's contributing enough right now.
He's right up there for, I mean, we're top, like, assists and goals and everything, yeah. Five goals. And
it's just that his form of late's been possibly the worst it's been all season.
Mm.
He started quite hit and miss, and then he picked up during the he picked up sort of in the
like Christmas.
Yeah, around Christmas, where he was getting a lot of goals and assists, and now he's sort of on his worst form of the season. He came out very defensively earlier today and made some comments about how you know, some people have criticised him, but he's defended his record with stats and how he's, you know, his assists. About how he scored four goals and made quite a few assists.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to go on a rant about how his stats were slightly misleading and how some of the things he was saying, like, he was using his stats to explain why the only players really ahead of him are the likes of Mata and Walcott and Rooney, etc. And right before we came on air, actually, I was talking to Mike on Twitter, and he basically pointed out why my rant would have been extremely misguided and quite embarrassing. I was going to say, well, he says he's made, like, a lot of assists, and he hasn't. He's only made about five or six. And then I was going to go on a rant about how he's sort of misleading us there. And then Mike came up and said, actually, he's in the top 10 of assists in the league, and the only players ahead of him are the likes of Podolski, Walcott, Mata, and Cofola.
Mm.
Well, I actually need to thank Mike for that, because he stopped me from embarrassing myself live on air. At least in this area.
He has his uses.
He does have his uses, yeah. He's also just given me a stat. He's the fourth most substituted player in the Premier League this season, is Adam Johnson.
I was actually going to bring that up.
No.
Because when I was doing a piece about Johnson about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That was something that I know he was one of the most. He's like got, as far as our team's concerned, anyway. He's a leader amongst assists and goals. He's the player we bring off the most often. Yeah, he's the one that's doing something the most often.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. But to me, he's making a lot. It's just his form at the moment that's the issue. He's really not performing as he should in these last few games. He's not providing assists or scoring goals. I think he had one against QPR, and that's the only assist he's managed in the last. I think it's in basically throughout this winless run we've been on, and that's not really good enough for a winger. His crossing's really, really poor. And I'm just wondering if maybe he's the one that should be given at least the rest, and then bring in a couple of players who are going to help out, who are at least going to help out defensively, even if they also don't create a great deal.
It's not the worst shout. I mean, I think if it was down to me, I'd probably keep him in.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure I could drop him at this stage. But at the same time, I wouldn't mind us kind of boring our way to 4-0 over the next four games. Really, would you?
But even against, you know, Southampton and Stoke, I'd be happy for it to just be incredibly boring sort of 1-0. I honestly just think any attempt at expansive football goes out the window now. I just don't care. And we haven't been, apart from a few occasions, we haven't exactly been playing exciting football this season anyway. But these last few games, I'm just so happy for it to be just the most turgid but effective, you know, football to get us out of the
bubble
we're in.
We definitely have to do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, like anything from these next two, the next two games at least. Is like nothing's expected.
Yeah.
So anything we do get, why don't we try and play for that point, and take that one point that we wouldn't get if we went for it.
Which you know at this stage, any point against these sort of teams is a big boost. I sort of feel actually the Chelsea game might be the best game to target because they'll have come back from two games in a week, sandwiched in between their Europa League games. And that could be the one we should look at and maybe think, you know what, we could... And Chelsea, you know, they always, under Benitez at least, they always have these a few games where they play quite well in the league. They win a lot. And then they always have one slip-up where you'd expect them to win and they don't. And I sort of feel like our game next week could be the one we should be targeting.
Yeah.
Try and get something. This one I'm not so confident about, I'll be honest, the Man United game. But I don't think it's impossible to say we couldn't get points in these sort of four games.
But you'd be happy with any we picked up.
Yeah, I think at the most, the most you'd expect, I said a couple of weeks ago, the most we could pick up is about two. I'm a bit more confident that we potentially could pick up more now, but it's still a tricky run of games, I think.
Yep. So, predictions for Man United. What are you going for?
I think it'll be a narrow United 1-0 win. We'll pick up a goal like about some time in the first half. Sunderland will have 50. We're about 50 minutes left and batter them, and we won't score.
Seems pretty likely.
Mm.
I think it might be a little bit more comfortable from that for them, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think they'll get the magic 2 that everyone seems to score against us.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but this time we won't come back, we won't score 1, and then.
So I think it'll be... I think for the first time this season I'm going for a 2-0 defeat.
Yeah, desperate times, I guess.
Yeah, let's just get it out of the way and move on to the next one.
Yeah. Also, isn't this weekend the Mandela Day?
It is, it's Nelson Mandela Day.
It's Nelson Mandela Day, everyone, in Sunderland.
Obviously.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen for this game. I don't know what the club's got in stock.
I believe... There is an African band and they're wearing T-shirts.
Whenever you think of Nelson Mandela, you think an African band in T-shirts. So I think that'll be a nice touch, yeah.
It's always best known for, obviously, is his T-shirts and...
Yeah.
And drum beats.
Yeah.
Nothing says, you know, patronising Africa like we do sometimes.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Well, hopefully someone will get Sunderland out of jail.
Because we've been put in there unfairly.
Yeah, well, No, to be honest, I mean, let's be, yeah, all right, yeah. Not quite fairly, I don't think, yeah.
It's the natural fit, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Apartheid with Marty.
How long have you been waiting to use that?
I came up with it a couple of hours ago and thought, oh, I'm never going to get a chance to use this. Oh, hang on, I'm on a podcast later.
That's genius, that. That is. Right, there's nothing can top that.
Yeah.
Let's just end it. No.
Let's just end the podcast. Let's just end the Roker Report.
Might as well. Right, so, well, might as well get question of the week out of the way first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fletcher's out, obviously. So, Graham, Wickham are both for the foreseeable future.
For the time being, I'd say Graham on his own. I think, you know, he proved that he can do the lone striker role at Swansea. I don't see any... It won't do us that much harm to give him another try in that role over these next three or four games, so we're not expecting to get anything. And just see if that is the problem, why he hasn't been performing very well. Wickham was excellent for the under-21s. Was it last night?
Yes, he was on Monday night.
Yeah, he was. Apparently, I didn't see it, but apparently he was excellent. So it does give us something to think about, but I'm still not convinced that Wickham can lead the line on his own yet. And especially not in such a pressure situation that we're in now. I don't think it's really right to put all that pressure on the shoulders of a 19-year-old.
Mm.
As for playing them both together, it would work a lot better than Fletcher and Graham, I think. But I still don't think we're quite built for to play a 4-4-2. I think that midfield is just too weak to play it. Though I do think we'd have a bit more joy with Wickham and Graham together. But
yeah,
basically my answer is Graham by himself. Let's give that a try and see what happens.
Well, I'm on the same side. As much as shit as Danny Graham's been,
yeah,
I'm just going to have to go with the experienced head, cross your fingers and close your eyes, and really just hope that for some reason it works out. Because I'm dead against two.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be Sessegnon behind one or the other. And like you say, the amount of pressure we're under at the minute, Wickham can't be deemed more than an impact sub.
Yeah, and we saw against Bolton in the cup at home, Wickham led the line there, and he's kind of struggled a bit. To be fair, the whole team was bad, but he didn't quite look like he was ready to lead the line by himself.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he does it regularly for the under-21s, but I just don't see, I'm not ready for that.
But if you look at the teams, he hasn't exactly been playing the world's best.
No.
Yeah, you know, he hasn't been playing, you know, the likes of the Spanish in the 21 side was excellent, and you know, Germany, etc. He's been, you know, the last night he played Austria, and I'm not as convinced Austria's under 21s are great, you know, as you know, for example, their Swiss counterparts, but they're it's not exactly the best of opposition, is it?
No.
Apparently he struggled. He Sheffield Wednesday didn't get a lot of.
He didn't get that many games. Really.
So I suppose he was only there a month and.
He played six games, but mainly so. Yet. Yeah, it's just going to be Graham. Say, you know what? Paid $5 million for him. Fucking do something.
It is exactly that. I mean, he's got no excuse. if his poor form continues, then, you know, there's no excuses. He's just clearly not good enough.
Well, we've got some comments on the site. Two and a half essays on it. Curiously, all with different answers.
Oh, that's nice.
So, Jamie Smith says that the long and short of it is, stick with Graham. That's the short of it, should I say. The long of it is very long. Basically, repeating what we just said. Great form for the under-21s, for Wickham and that, but stick with Graham. After all, he's proven at this level. But give Wickham a reasonable amount of opportunities, not coming off the bench in the 82nd minute, and his hunger might be a big advantage come the end of the season.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yep,
I definitely hope he gets more of a chance than he had against the bench.
Mm-hmm. Oh, without a doubt. He's got to now be in the thinking.
Yeah.
Warwick Hunt says, Wickham. Graham is clearly useless and just keeping out the talented youth. Not just Wickham, but youngsters such as Mandron and Noble.
Oh, fuck's sake. He's not good enough, for Christ's sake. That's why he's not there anymore.
Brackett, who has been forced out of the club. Yeah, he has been forced out by not being very good at football.
Yeah.
Although he could, you know, wager that against a lot of players at the minute.
No.
Noble is also, you know, it was never going to happen. No. We all wanted him to be, you know, Michael Bridges or someone like that, but, you know, he's barely even David Rush.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. The thing is, Wickham wants to play in a front two where Graham is better on his own. Whilst Graham is a better player now, Wickham will be 10 times the player Graham is in 5 years. And the way to get him to that standard is to just play him.
But this is my problem with Mr. Hunt's comment there. Is that he says that Graham is a better player now.
Mm.
And that Wickham will be a better player in the future. And I completely agree with that. I think Wickham will be a better player than Graham. But is the time to put Wickham in the team to sort of develop him when you're in the middle of a relegation battle?
Not for me, it's not.
No, for the time, we have to go for someone who has played that role first.
No, without a doubt.
It's very odd. He's saying, also, Graham is clearly useless, but Graham is a better player than Wickham now, but so therefore we should play Wickham.
Yeah, I'm all for developing the youth, but now is definitely not the time.
No, I don't think so, no.
Well, certainly not a time to develop them anyway. I mean, he mentions like Mandron and Noble. Noble isn't going to even sniff the bench.
Yeah.
Mandron would be a surprise.
Yeah.
Despite the fact he's training with the first team at the minute.
Yeah. I'd like to see him on the bench as a sort of striking option, but...
But he's very much a last throw of the dice.
Yeah, he is.
You know, we're 1-0 down in a very, very crucial game. Five minutes to go. Let's put on the unknown. Next up is Willie Mackham, who says, play both. Graham up front, Sess and Wickham in the slot in a 4-3-2-1. Will it work? Who the fuck knows, but it won't. It's not going to happen anyway. We'll end up playing a 5-5-0 formation and just be buried in the back.
The weird thing about Willie Mackham's comments, he says O'Neill will rightfully be scared of the slaughter and then has a go at them for sort of... But then not playing that way, I don't know. It's quite odd. But you never know. That it's an interesting idea playing that with Sess and Wickham behind. But no, I'm not sure that would work either.
I don't see Wickham as a from behind player, if you know what I mean.
I didn't because I lost you again.
No, I don't see Wickham as like a being the player off. He has to be the target of we're pumping the ball up because you know that's what we like to do. He's going to be the guy to get you the knockdowns and stuff. I don't think he's really the kind of player to play off someone.
No, as much as
he is to lead the line. Like, Fletcher's a good person to play off someone.
Yeah.
Because he brings other people in well, but I think Wickham's best talent is goal scoring, and we're trying to ask him to do more than that.
Yeah, to be fair, Wickham can hold on to the ball very well, but I'd rather see him in a more... see what he can do a bit further up, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Willie Mackham will start talking about pre-match entertainment and Rage Against the Machine for no apparent reason,
which is always welcome, but you know, try and keep it on topic with
over to Twitter, where Ridders86 chips in with a lone comment and says, if ever there was a time for Graham and Wickham to step up, it is now. Graham is a shadow when up front with Fletcher. So there you go, some thoughts, if no, not answers to the question. We also did a poll for the first time in bloody ages, because I usually forget to actually add one in. 36% want Wickham on his own, 47% Graham on his own, and only 15% going for both.
Does that add up to 100 this week? Is that finally?
I don't know. It doesn't like percent. It doesn't like points.
Yeah.
So when it's like, if it's like a 0.5%, it just doesn't count it.
Oh, right.
For some reason. So. Let's pretend it adds up to 100 anyway. I'm sure somebody will do the maths.
Yeah.
Because it ain't going to be me.
Nope.
Right, so that's question of the week. Something else next week. Who knows? Maybe we will talk about Rage Against the Machine and pre-match entertainment.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe we'll just do a Rage Against the Machine report if the Man United performance is that bad.
Yeah, Rage Against the Machine special.
We'll get Dave Boyle in. I mean, he seems like the type who likes Rage.
He'll be definitely coming on that one.
Yeah.
After he's stuck out for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Right, so there you go. Promises, promises.
That we're not going to keep.
Eh?
That we're not going to keep.
Nope, because we never, ever do. But you never know.
I think that one memory that'll be for the 100th episode.
We'll just talk about that.
Yeah.
Well, I could get on board with that. Cause it's going to be better than any, you know, talking about the latest defeat.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So, there you go. Question of the week. Don't think there's really any other business to cover.
I think we've covered everything, haven't we?
Yeah, I did a fair bit at the top of the show.
Yeah.
So that's that. On the site this week, there's just loads of stuff. I don't have that page open because I'm an idiot. So you'll just have to take my word for it that on rockerreport.com there's loads of good stuff.
There's lots of stuff. We have a piece by Craig Clark on why we need to ditch 442. Yeah, we've got Chris Weatherspoon on who should suddenly keep on the fringes. And international coverage, and I've got something on Danny Graham up there.
Yep.
No need to worry, Simon. I've got my page open.
Thank God for that.
Yeah. So now you can all go and read all that stuff.
Yep. And plenty of build-up to Man United and coverage at the weekend. I know that's definitely happening.
That's definitely happening, yeah. At the very least, that should be our basic sort of mandate.
It should be, yeah, really, shouldn't it? Yeah. Rather than convolutedly finding some other shit to write about every week.
Yeah.
Right, so there you go. Say ta-ra.
Free Nelson Mandela.
See you next week. Ta-ra.